I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. That was not a great way to start the show. Hello and welcome. That was much better. Scraby Show, January 31st, 2025. I am happy it's Friday, everybody. I don't know about you, but I said it last night. This week has gone so incredibly slow, but we're finally to the end, and tomorrow is Fan Fest, and it's going to be fun. So if you're there tomorrow at Fan Fest, please stop by the 97.3 The Fan booth and say hi to all of us. We're going to be in near section 113. So you'll probably find all the 97.3 banners and everything like that. But Ben and Woods are going to be there from 10 to noon. Annie Nelson from noon to 2. Tony and I from 2 to 3. And then me, myself and I, from 3 to 4. So we're going to have lots of Padres guests on tomorrow. We're going to be out and about. Please make sure, if you are there, to come say hi to all of us. I think the news this morning that I woke up to, basically, I mean, it came out mid-morning, but I think this was a very, very smart thing to do for the Padres to have this news heading into FanFest, because if you're, you know, getting off work or you haven't heard the news yet, the Padres are going to avoid arbitration with Michael King. And it actually, the deal that they made with Michael King helps them save a little bit of money so they can have a couple extra million dollars to spend out there. But Michael King's contract guarantees him $7.75 million this year. It contains a $3 million signing bonus, a $1 million base salary, and for 2026, a $15 million option or a $3.75 million buyout. King can earn up to an additional $250,000 in incentives based on games started. So this is a really good thing. AJ Preller hasn't gone to arbitration in over, like, 10 years, and he is going to avoid arbitration again. I think that's a great thing AJ Preller has on his resume. Players like that. So that's a plus if a player was looking at coming to San Diego, or you know, a younger player, if they were coming to San Diego, that's a plus for them, because AJ Preller seemingly likes to give players what they deserve. So I'm happy about this. I immediately tweeted a little prematurely saying, national media, take Michael King out of your mouth for trade rumors and stuff like that. But this really, I guess, at face value, it doesn't mean that he's not going to be traded. It means that he can move forward with his year and he can be cut. You know, he doesn't have to worry about the arbitration hearing, but I don't think that they're going to trade him. I really don't. I know Dennis Lynn had an article out earlier today, and he said about Michael King, he said that there are still teams that are contacting the Padres about Dylan Cease and Michael King's availability, and the Padres' ask for one of those players is extremely high. So that, you know, it's kind of like a game. Do you want to, if you hold your players, if your ask for a trade is high and expensive for another team, and you're asking for it and they say no, that's fine. You could still have a great year with Dylan Cease and Michael King. But I guess if someone says, hey, we would pay you what you want in capital, like players, Major League Baseball players or prospects, then hey, maybe they take it. If there's an offer that they just can't refuse, then maybe they take it. But this just tells me they're looking forward to going forward with this year right now. I mean, outside of an insanely good trade proposal, I don't see them going and trading these guys right now, which is really good. I'm not really a fan of trading guys that make a good impression on the city, and Michael King made a great impression on the city. Dylan Cease made a great impression on the city. So I'm happy that Michael King, you know, at least is still around. Same with Dylan Cease. The guys, if you didn't know, the Padres players went around town today, and they went and looked, or they visited schools, they went to certain restaurants, they went to a fire station, and we have a bunch of pictures of these guys on at 97.3 The Fan SD on Twitter or X. Tyler Wade in a driver's seat for a fire truck. You got Dylan Cease there. You got Stephen Kolek there. You got a bunch of these guys doing these things all day. So it's actually kind of cool. My brother is a firefighter. They didn't go to my brother's fire station, but I can tell you right now that my brother would be extremely, extremely excited if the Padres came to his fire station. Jake Cronenworth was there. Tyler Wade, as I mentioned. So go there. Oh, yeah. This is the best part. They went to Jack in the Box, and they worked at Jack in the Box for a little bit, and I think that's great. Because the pictures are fun. Stephen Kolek, Dylan Cease making burgers. Victor Rodriguez making burgers. So 97.3 The Fan SD if you want to go and see those pictures. Now, I think that where we're going to go from here is I think that with Michael King kind of not weighing over the team right now, and them having made this contract free up a couple more million dollars or so. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it definitely is a lot. I think we're going to start seeing players being signed. And I think we're going to start seeing players being signed as soon as they get to spring training, because I was reading an article earlier today, and an anonymous NL executive said, quote, agents are starting to scramble a bit for the guys who don't have jobs. There will be a mad rush at some point, particularly on the reliever market. So that's why I guess we shouldn't be worried, because it's still happening out there. They're still signing players. There's still lots of players out there. And again, AJ Preller and co, they really, really know what they want. And they're usually right with who they bring in. So I think that things are going to start picking up very, very soon. We talked about the AJ Preller, the Jesse Agler newsletter. So if you want to sign up for it, because I didn't get a chance to say where it was at earlier, you can go to jesseagler.substack.com. So that's where you can go and see or sign up for his newsletter. But there's tons of good nuggets in here. And Jesse does a really good job of breaking this stuff down. And this section is titled Quick Roster Thought. And he said that, you know, it's been a fairly quiet winter for the Padres so far, even after the Diaz signing. But he went back to some of his notes, Jesse Agler did, and he said, of the 26 guys on the NLDS roster versus the Dodgers last October, nearly half were not on the 40-man roster at the start of spring training. And we're not talking about the small players. Like, these guys were not on the roster before the 40-man roster at the start of spring training. Profar, Cease, Arise, Merrill, Solano, Peralta, Scott, and Jason Adam among them. So what Jesse is trying to say here is that we can stay calm for right now. It doesn't matter that the team hasn't filled out yet, because nearly half of the players from last season were not on the roster when spring training started. So it kind of just helps ease my mind a little bit. It helps me feel like, okay, we're not in a bad place. There's still a lot of players out there for the Padres to sign, and anything can happen with AJ Preller. As we've said many, 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 many times, and I think AJ Preller is going to figure it out sooner rather than later, because they're going to be going out to spring training here. What is it? February 12th is when they're going to be reporting. So that would be it would be a week from Wednesday. They're reporting. Pitchers and catchers are reporting for spring training, which is kind of insane. I'm not going to lie about that. I'm not really to start, but I'm also really ready for the season to start. If you have anything you want to talk about tonight, just put it into the chat if you would like to. You can go watch on YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan, at 97.3 The Fan SD, at Matt Scraby. You can also watch there. But we're just going to have fun tonight. And it's going to be easy to have fun because Michael King, happy with his situation with the Padres. We still got Dylan Cease, even though I almost fell for a fake tweet earlier. And it didn't happen, so I'm happy about that. The Padres' international prospects are doing well. They signed three of the top 40 international prospects, two shortstops, number 21 overall, number 35, and then a pitcher, number 39. So I guess, you know, things after Roki Sasaki, after everything that we went through in the last 2 weeks or so, or maybe even a little bit more, I think they're starting to smooth out a little bit. I think they're starting to calm down a little bit. And we're all starting to lock in on the season and know that these, before we know it, they're going to be starting to play games. And I was asked earlier today, how many wins do you think they have, the Padres, this season? And I'm not very good at these win predictions because I'm just not good at it. But I was feeling confident. No one thought they were going to win 93 games last year. 87 wins is what I think is going to happen. With the roster that is currently constructed right now, I reserve the right to change my mind as we get closer to the start of the season. But you know what? I'm feeling okay about this team right now. I don't know. Maybe it's my Friday feels. Maybe I'm just happy that I get to, you know, sleep in tomorrow and then head over to FanFest. But tonight, I don't really have anything that I'm worried about at the moment. I don't. I also don't think, like, I know that they can trade Dylan Cease while he's doing these things and he's at Jack in the Box, but I don't think they would actually trade Dylan Cease as he was, you know, working at Jack in the Box. I just don't think that's something that they would do. What, are they going to pull him off the line? What happens when they pull him off the line? Then all the burgers get backed up. I don't know if anybody's ever played that SpongeBob game where you're a cook in the Krusty Krab and you have to make a bunch of hamburgers. It's like that. Once you mess up once, everything backs up on you. So they can't take Dylan Cease off of the hamburger line or else people aren't going to get their hamburgers. All right. Yes, it's Friday again. I'm talking about Dylan Cease and hamburgers, so there we go. Gonzo said, and he was living with Musgrove last season. That is true. He was living with Musgrove. So, happy vibes right now. I don't usually say vibes, but I just did. When we get back, we're going to talk about, you know, I need to mention UCSD because they're doing some good stuff right now. And also, we will just keep going. If you have any questions or if you have any things you want to talk about, put them in the chat. Search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube. And then I have, it's not like a grand daily gripe, but it's one that I think all of you are going to feel my pain with. So stick around. That's at the end of the show. You're listening to The Scraby Show on 97.3.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Be the fan. Back in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan, The Scraby Show. And I'm extremely hungry now that we've been talking about Jack in the Box. We've been talking about burgers and all that. Krabby Patties. And now I'm really hungry. And I said, you cannot trade a player who was out and about in the city doing things with the fans, a.k.a. Dylan Cease, because we thought he got traded earlier as a fake tweet, all this. But Ed McKee made a really good point. Stephen Wilson was basically pulled off the plane to Korea last year after he was traded for Dylan Cease and some other guys. So I know it's not quite the same because the burgers aren't going to back up, but that is a pretty big bummer. I can't imagine, like, being ready to take a, whatever, 12-hour flight and then find out about 30 minutes before you're not going. That would be a huge bummer. All right. UCSD basketball, men's basketball right now, is starting to garner national attention. And after they beat Hawaii last night, they moved to 18-4 on the year, and they won 74-63 in Hawaii. Excuse me. I sneezed. Sorry. But they went 18-4, or they are 18-4. They're 8-2 in their conference. They've won three in a row. But there's a lot of people starting to talk about UCSD. John Rothstein, who we brought up earlier in the week, he tweeted out, UC San Diego's next three games. At Hawaii, they already won that one. UC Riverside and at UC Irvine. A massive stretch for Eric Olin and the 17-4 Tritons. Now they're 18-4. This is something that we haven't really talked about much this year, but I think we should. I think we should talk about it because, you know, they're a pretty good basketball team. And when the national media starts to pay attention and the local media, like me, is not paying as close attention, I think I need to change my ways a little bit. And we need to start paying attention, or I need to start paying attention a little bit more to UCSD. I'm sorry. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm sneezing like crazy. But I must be allergic to something in this room. Chris isn't here, so I don't know what it could be. Anyway, UCSD doing great things, and they are playing, as I said, UC Riverside, at UC Irvine, and then at Cal State Bakersfield. So hopefully they can keep it going. I'll continue to pay more attention to them, and that will be good if they can get, you know, I believe they're able to qualify for the tournament. I think last year it was they had just moved over from Division II or Division I A, Double A, and they moved up to the highest level, and so they weren't able to make the tournament. But I'm going to have to check on that. I really am going to have to check on that. Trevor says Tritons don't have to pay NIL. How does that work? I feel like everyone gets to pay NIL these days. Keep an eye on UCSD basketball. Now, I thought this was kind of funny earlier today. I saw a tweet, and I don't even know. It's not from anyone important. But this whole thing with Terry Rozier, NBA player, there were some allegations made. There were some bets flagged on him. Now, we've looked into it a little bit, and the game in question, he only played 10 minutes, and then he didn't play the rest of the season. So they're trying to figure out if there's any sort of funny business happening with Terry Rozier. I personally, it doesn't look like that because he missed more games than just that one game, but you never know. And these watchdog groups are really paying close attention because they flagged one of the bets. Like, when I guess what happens is, and the easiest way to describe this, I guess what happens is, like, if a large amount of money comes in, or multiple bets of a large amount of money come in on a certain prop or a certain bet, then they kind of think, why would you do that? Like, why would you bet $20,000 on Terry Rozier to have under 9.5 points? Makes no sense. What do you know? So they flag the bet. They take him off the board. And now they're looking into it. But this tweet was very funny. And it fits along with what we talk about on Quinn and Chris all the time. It fits into this whole thing of like, hey, gambling is really bad for you, but here's $250 free dollars. So this guy tweeted, the NBA takes the gambling allegations against Terry Rozier very seriously. Use code Federal Investigation for a $200 bonus on your first $5 wager with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I think this is hilarious. Use code Federal Investigation. I think that it's kind of bad that when we joke about this, it's kind of true because these leagues have gotten so far into it with sports books that now they're like promoting it at every single turn. Like, I like betting and I like to see, you know, I like to look at different odds and I like doing the daily gambit. But I don't necessarily know that I want my TV, like, while I'm watching a game, filled up with all the different prop bets. Like, I think in-game betting is a little bit tougher because you have to be quick. And you have to be quick on it, because if you like pick a bet and it happen, like you have to make the bet real quick so that you get it in and you are able to I'm getting text messages. I'm sorry. This is why it stinks to be by myself in this room sometimes, because I think it's breaking news. I'm aware of the breaking news. I think it's breaking news, and it wasn't breaking news. So that's why I stopped down, because I wasn't sure if it was breaking news. But all of these different sports organizations are just letting betting take over, and I'm not a fan of it. I think that betting has a place. Again, I like the Daily Gambit. I like doing parlays and everything like that. But I think that when it's being shown to you every place that you go, when it's shown to you on your phone, when it's shown to you on the TV, when it's shown to you in your email, I think it starts to become a little much. And, you know, I guess we could talk about Ipe real quick. Ipe Mizuhara, who was Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, former interpreter last year. But it goes into, like, what he did with the betting. And he got in big trouble. And we all know he got in big trouble because he was found to have stolen some money from Shohei Ohtani. But they're saying now that they never thought Ipe, the federal prosecutors never thought Ipe was a gambling addict, which he says he is. And so I can't, you know, I can't really say he's not something that he says he is, but this is a little weird to me. It is a little weird because all of a sudden Ipe Mizuhara is just gambling millions of dollars away. It doesn't, for me, it doesn't work like that. For me, it were like, I said this on the show earlier, like gambling to me is the same as drinking or the same as doing drugs or whatever you're addicted to. The brain works in a similar way. And you just don't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to steal money from my employer, Shohei Ohtani, and I'm going to gamble on it. So when they say that he hasn't had a gambling addiction in the past, they looked at different things like 30 legal casinos in the United States. So maybe he was doing this thing all off channel and everything. And that's totally a possibility. So if he says that he's a gambling addict, I guess we have to believe him. But the federal prosecutors are saying that they have no proof that he is a gambling addict, which I think is funny that they're trying to prove this anyway. It's very hard to try and prove something like that, because it's like, it's just really hard to prove whether or not he is a gambling addict. You can't prove that someone's an alcoholic. It's all up to that person. Now, you can label someone as an alcoholic, but if it's not in their mind that they're, if it's in their mind that they're not an alcoholic, then they're not going to get it. Same with gambling. If he didn't think he had a problem, he wouldn't have called himself a gambling addict. And I just find it very, very strange. He says that he had a long-standing addiction to gambling in which he frequented casinos 4 to 5 times a week. And the prosecutors are saying that Ipe had said that he was living paycheck to paycheck, which would be like, hey, you don't have any money to bet, or you don't have any money, so how are you betting all this money? They're saying he had no expenses. He had no loans, car payments, rent expenses. Ohtani gave him a Porsche to drive. And in his account, they were saying that it was more than $30,000 in March of 2023 and more than $195,000 in March of 2024. And that's when they found out and everything went down. And then we all know what the rest is history. I've been saying for weeks now, months now, that I think there's something up. I think there's something up with this. It doesn't add up to me. I'm not saying Shohei Ohtani gambled on sports. I don't think that happened. But I also don't know how he missed as much money as he did from his bank account. And the only reason I'm talking about this, I'm not trying to bring up old stuff, but the only reason I'm talking about this is because ESPN published this article about how the federal prosecutors don't say or don't think that he is a gambling addict. So go to ESPN. There's an article there if you want to read that and see what they have to say about that. Nothing's going to happen going forward, I know, but I'm on to them. I'm very on to them. Dennis says, Ben and Woods said, I don't know if Ben and Woods actually said this, but this is what Dennis is saying. Ben and Woods said this morning he had no reason to do what they're saying he did. Obviously, he's a scapegoat for Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, I mean, I can't really disagree with that. I'm not going to go as far as to say that Shohei Ohtani is a criminal or anything like that. I'm not that crazy, but I do think it's funny business. Gonzo says, if he gave him a Porsche, why did he need to transfer money for a car loan? Man, that's pretty good. Why did he need money for a car loan if he had a Porsche? Maybe it was the Porsche. I don't know. I'm just starting to make up things at this point. And I don't really want to get in trouble for making up things. So I'm going to stop right there. We're going to go to break. When we get back, Friday fun, still my daily gripe. I want to talk about this Liam Cohen guy for a second, because it sounds like everybody thinks he's the greatest coach in the entire universe in the NFL. But we'll talk about that. We'll close out the week on 97.3 The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brathan, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brathan wherever you get your podcasts.
Final segment here on the Scravey Show, or Chronicles, whatever you would like to call it. 97.3 The Fan. Watch me on YouTube. Search 97.3 The Fan. I'm pretty sure we're going to be broadcasting video from FanFest tomorrow, but I'm not 100% sure. So don't hold me to that, but I'm not 100% sure about that. I would assume so, though. And we all know what I do when I assume. Makes an A out of you and me. All right. My guy, Kirk Kenny, he's been helping me today. He told me, because I was talking about UCSD basketball, and I was talking about whether or not they can make the tournament, and I was right. They can. They are now eligible. But he said UCSD went through a 5-year transition period from Division II to Division I, and sports programs are now eligible for various NCAA tournaments. That waiting period is pretty bogus. Why would you penalize a program that is moving up? They're already at a disadvantage since they are not established like the other teams in the conference. The UCSD baseball team won the Big West 2 years ago, which was a tremendous accomplishment, and the Tritons received no reward for it. Yeah, 5 years does seem like a little much. 5 years does seem like a long time to wait. I guess you're waiting just so you can try and build up the program. I understand what Kirk is saying, but like, they're already at a disadvantage, so why penalize them anymore? They're probably not going to be able to make, you know, win a lot of games when they're trying to build up the program to a D1A status. But it doesn't really make sense that you have to wait 5 years. That is a long time. That is an eternity in sports. I mean, in 5 years, they went from no NIL to lots of NIL. There has been so many changes to college sports in the last couple of years alone. So 5 years is an eternity in college sports. But I'm happy for UCSD. We're going to try to get some UCSD people on soon. Very, very, very soon. So this Liam Cohen guy, he's not just a guy. He's the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the reason I say Jaguars is because people got mad at me years ago for saying Jaguars. 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 So Liam Cohen, this whole story was really weird because he was the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He ended up interviewing for the Jaguars job and the head coaching job. And he said no. He took himself out of the running because he didn't like the GM of the team, Trent Baalke, which a lot of people don't like Trent Baalke. I know he was not well liked in San Francisco. I think he even went to Washington, or he came from Washington, and then he's been more than a couple places. And I know that he doesn't apparently work well with people. I don't know. But Liam Cohen told the Jaguars, no, I'm out. I don't really want to be your head coach if Trent Baalke is the GM, which that part in itself I do respect. I do respect that part in itself because that is a very difficult thing to say no to. There's only 32 jobs, head coaching jobs, in the NFL. And some of these guys, like, let's just take Eric Bieniemy. He's been coaching for 20 or 30 years, and he hasn't been a head coach. So turning down a head coaching job like Liam Cohen did, and for the reason he did, I got to say that's not the... It's actually pretty smart because I do believe that situation makes a lot of sense for when you're making decisions on your career. And if he felt like he was going to go to Jacksonville and he was going to be set up to fail, and then he was going to, you know, then he'll be a coordinator the rest of his life or a quarterback's coach, I can understand why he would say no to that. I can understand why he wouldn't want to take that on. But what I don't understand is why he has so much power. He seems like he has so much power over the NFL, and I don't understand it. I mean, he said no to the Jaguars. They said, okay, you know what? We're going to fire our GM, and we're going to reoffer you the job. And so then he said, yes, I actually want the job now that you fired the GM. I don't think outside of like a legendary coach or a coach that has lots of NFL head coaching experience, I don't think I've ever seen a team fire a GM for a guy who is not even like a long-standing coach in the NFL. He's bounced around everywhere. He's been in college recently. And I'm not saying that he's a bad coach. I'm just saying it seems very strange. Very, very strange for a team to do as much as the Jaguars did to bring in Liam Cohen. Now, Jacob is our resident Jaguars fan saying that Baalke needed to go. I don't disagree with that. He was there for a while. The team hasn't really gotten a ton better. But I just don't know. I just don't know why him. Katrina says it wasn't just him, reportedly. A handful of others turned them down for the same reason, from what I read. I do understand that other people turned him down, but if there was other guys interviewing for the job, I'm just trying to think of someone that could... Say Robert Saleh. He actually did turn it down. Maybe... Why wouldn't they say, hey, Robert Saleh, we'll fire Trent Baalke for you. You could be our head coach if we fire the GM. I don't really understand it. I don't. But I guess I guess the Jaguars know what they're doing because they did this. And we'll see how Liam Cohen does. I don't think it's going to go well in the beginning. I'm going to wait and see about things for the future. But good for him. He got everything he wanted. He got a head coaching job and... he got the GM fired. So good for him. That's awesome. Another story. There's an update to the Justin Tucker story. And again, I'm not going to assume on this one. But if you haven't heard, Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has been accused of some pretty serious allegations by some masseuses in the Baltimore area. Now, Justin Tucker has denied everything about it. The Baltimore Ravens and the NFL are looking into this. But there are a lot of rumblings from, you know, some reporters and some fans, but there have been... And here's where the internet, I can't really tell if it's real or not. So I'm not going to say this is real. I'm going to go with this as something that is made up. But if true, then this is some pretty serious stuff, and the NFL needs to do something about it, and the Baltimore Ravens need to do something about it. But they were saying that there were some posts from maybe 2021 that said from masseuses in the area or from a masseuse in the area, don't book Justin Tucker because he's pretty much banned at all the other spas in the area. And then there was another message that was a lot more graphic than that one. So I feel terribly for Justin Tucker if this isn't true. And I feel terribly for the masseuses if this is true. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens with this. The one thing I find very strange about this is, like, this happened between, according to the article, 2012 and 2016. So this was a while back. This is not something that just happened. And I think that if it has been going on for that long, then where's everybody been? 2012 through 2016, that was over 10 years ago. That was 13 years ago when this allegedly started. And again, I don't want to say that I think Justin Tucker is guilty because I don't know yet. But the strange thing to me is, if you're going to bring up something from 13 years ago, in as these masseuses did, like, why, if you're going to go for a money grab or if you're going to go for something like that, why choose Justin Tucker of all guys? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to choose Justin Tucker to try and extort. I mean, people and criminals think up all sorts of different ways to make things happen. So I can't say that anything's off the table, but it doesn't make sense to me that they would pick Justin Tucker to be that guy. I'm not sure. It's a very strange story, and it's a very sad story, because either way, one group of people is being mistreated, and I am not really a fan of that happening. I don't want to see that happen. So if there indeed was something that happened, we'll find out, and hopefully it will be dealt with. And if it didn't, I think that we need to start, and I don't know this for a fact, that we don't have laws, but we need to start making laws to stop people from claiming these things if it's fake, because it ruins people's lives, and it ruined Deshaun Watson's life. Now, I guess nothing's ever really been proven, and I in that case, I can't say that he was guilty, but there's a lot that shows me that maybe he was guilty. But it ruined Deshaun Watson's life, and if it ruined his life unfairly, then that's wrong. But Justin Tucker, it's going to ruin his life if it's done unfairly. So that's wrong. It's going to ruin his life if it's not done unfairly. But I'm not sure what's happening in the NFL. If this stuff is just happening and it's being talked about in the open among different spas in the Baltimore area, very strange. But again, I am not going to say whether or not Justin Tucker is guilty, because I do not know. And we will be figuring this out together as we go along. It does make sense, though, for why he missed field goals if he knew something like this was happening or coming down the pipe. Is it the pike or the pipe? Coming down the pike. I don't know. Either way, sad story all the way around. I have basically... Oh, this is what I wanted to talk about. I think the ABS system... As you can tell, it's Friday. Last segment of a Friday. I think the automatic balls and strikes system that's coming to spring training is going to be fascinating to watch in spring training. Because if they work this out in a way that it actually works and it helps with the game, then I would want them to implement this as fast as possible. But I don't really know if it's ready. Tony says it's not really ready. I assume it's not ready. But because they're using the challenge system, this is why what I find the most interesting. They're going to get two challenges in a game. If you're wrong on one of your challenges, you lose that challenge. If you're right, you don't. So you can, like, say you have two challenges. You challenge a call. You were right. You keep your two challenges. And I don't know whether this is a... The challenge is initiated by a catcher, a pitcher, or a batter. I actually think they should only do it for the batter. But if one of those three players challenges the play, then they're going to look at it real quick and they're going to determine whether it was a ball or a strike. And I think the usage of all of this, the usage of the challenges throughout the game is going to be fascinating. It's like challenges in the NFL. Sometimes you get down to the end of the game, it's not quite 2 minutes left, so it's not an automatic challenge within anything after the two-minute warning. And if you don't have a challenge and there's a play that needs to be challenged and you can't challenge it, it changes the entire situation in the game. And this is what I think baseball, it's going to happen with the balls and strike system. These guys are going to have to be really selective with... they're going to have to be very selective with when they challenge things. And as Tony said earlier, maybe Manny Machado has a challenge that he can use and he doesn't have to get the okay from Mike Schilt or some of the coaching staff. But I can totally imagine a scenario late in the game where the challenges have been used up and there's a clear ball that's a strike or a strike that's a ball and all of us losing our minds. So that's strategy inside of the game, and I think that's awesome. And I don't, the ABS system, automatic balls and strike system, is not coming to Major League Baseball this year, just to spring training. So Dominic says that all of our Jack in the Box talk, he went and got Jack in the Box. You know, I may have to do that. I may have to go get Jack in the Box. Someone says, Schilt will know when to throw the flag. I think it's a tap on the head. But, yeah, Schilt will know. I can imagine a player being like, no, it's totally a ball. And it ends up being a strike. Because players do complain sometimes when they aren't right. But that will be happening throughout spring training, and the Padres are going to play 26 exhibition games with it in place, which is among the most in baseball. Daily Gripe time.
What's annoying Scraby today? Let's find out. It's time for the Daily Gripe.
I don't know if Ed McKee is asking me or asking the chat, but what's my Jack in the Box order? Honestly, I haven't been the Jack in the Box in so long. They did the SD fat loss thing. But back in the day, I really loved the sourdough jack. I'm a huge sourdough jack fan back in the day. And, of course, the two tacos. I mean, you have to get the tacos. They're delicious. So, so, so delicious. Gonzo says, SD fat loss is going to call me when I'm in the drive-thru. You're right. They're going to be like, you shouldn't do this, sir. You don't have your cheat day yet, sir. Anyway, so my daily gripe for today is something I think all of us have done in our lives and are all very familiar with how much this hurts. But I, last night eating dinner, I bit my cheek so incredibly bad that it still hurts. Like talking today, I know I'm playing injured, everyone. Talking today was very difficult. And when I bit into my cheek last night, not to be too graphic, but I got skin and I spit out skin. So that was painful, and it still is painful. I've had to eat everything on the right side of my mouth because I can't eat on the left side because of the me biting my cheek off, basically. I almost bit a hole in it. Hurts. Hurts really bad, so that's my daily gripe. Thank you, everyone, for being here this week. I know it was kind of a long one. We've dealt with some stuff here in the new year, but everybody makes everything better for me and everybody at 97.3 The Fan. Again, Fan Fest tomorrow, 10 to 4. We're in Section 113. Ben and Woods, 10 a.m. to noon. Annie and Elston, noon to 2. Tony and myself, 2 to 3, and then Scraby Show from 3 to 4. So I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great night. Go get something good to eat, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.